It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Adam Abdallah in for Carmen today. We go out to our Corona hotline to talk some NFL, some Patrick Mahomes, some Bears, with one of our favorite guests, Field Yates. Field, how are you today?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me on. How about you guys?
We're doing great.
We're good. Thank you. So give me your hottest Patrick Mahomes take on the contract. Because no one's like, it's a bad. I mean, it's $500 million. But what is your hottest Patrick Mahomes take?
Ooh, it's a really great question. Maybe that the deal is actually super team-friendly, which feels weird when it's a $503 million extension in terms of maximum value over the course of 12 years. But yeah, I feel like this is a very team-friendly deal. Someone sent this along to me last night, so I can't take credit for digging it up myself. But if I told you that a player had a $503 million maximum value extension and he also had the sixth highest fully guaranteed amount, that to me would feel like, you know, those two things don't necessarily align. But Patrick Mahomes, in terms of full, pure, entirely guaranteed money, is sixth in the NFL. Now, he's going to make a lot more than the guys who are ahead of him in that category, but still, a deal that I think works out well for the Chiefs.
But there is a day of reckoning in 2007 when there's a $49.3 million roster bonus due. Isn't that like the recipe for reworking a contract?
Yeah, I sort of look at it like this, is that this deal gets us through probably 2020 to 2025, somewhere in that range, like a 4 to 5 year window. And at that point, I sort of feel like this contract will just be renegotiated anyways. And not separating apart from whether it's a good deal or a bad deal for the Chiefs at that time, let's assume, and it's very perilous to assume such things, but you know, we hope that we're on the other side of COVID-19 by the time we get back to football for the 2021 season. Obviously, we know that the 2020 season, if played, will be, you know, chemically imbalanced and much different than anything else we've ever seen. But if we're back to the league that we have, you know, known by 2021, and we have 3 to 4 or 5 years of steady, consistent growth, then Patrick Mahomes is going to be underpaid by the time we get around to like 2024 or 2025. That's just the way the world works in sports economics. Quarterbacks are not going to catch up to him right away, but quarterbacks are going to catch up to him at some point. Whether it's 2-3 years from now, somebody will be above $45 million. Heck, maybe it's Lamar Jackson next year when he is extension eligible. So I think that although the deal, if you look way far ahead, might have a couple of speed bumps you're going to have to navigate, I think more likely this is sort of like a five-year deal that has 5 years on the back end that might wind up being more symbolic than anything else. A commitment to Patrick Mahomes, and for Mahomes, a commitment to Kansas City.
Are the Cowboys kicking themselves for not getting something done with Dak a couple weeks ago?
You know, I think they will continue to insist that this deal does not have a bearing on Dak Prescott's contract, for the simple reason that Dak Prescott's not going to get $45 million per year. It's not like Dak's going to sign a deal that comes in close to Patrick Mahomes in terms of length or in terms of average annual value. But I would contend that Patrick Mahomes having a $45 million per year in terms of new money extension per year raises the floor for Dak, right? If you're Dak, you can say to the Cowboys, like, hey, I might be, you know, part of the sort of concept of the deal is average annual value, which, of course, is part of the concept of any deal, then checking in, you know, $8 million or $9 million behind Patrick Mahomes is now a negotiating point. Previously, it was, you know, we want to go above and beyond Russell Wilson. Well, now, by going above and beyond Russell Wilson, you still might be $7.5, $8, $9 million behind Patrick Mahomes, which is why I think that this deal helps Dak a little bit. And I think the Cowboys probably should be kicking themselves because of the way they've handled this thing almost from the start. I think there was opportunities to maybe secure something, and it just hasn't gotten done.
Field Yates on with Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. I'm Adam Abdallah in for Carmen DeFalco. What about Deshaun Watson? What does this mean for his deal?
Yeah, I think he's the one that stands to benefit the most from this because I do think that Deshaun Watson is going to get a new deal at some point before the season begins. Now, he doesn't have the resume of Patrick Mahomes. Nobody does, quite literally, by the age of 25. Mahomes is the first player ever to win both the Super Bowl MVP and the NFL MVP before turning the age of 25. But what I do think Deshaun Watson has is, again, I use that $45 million per year parameter. I think it gives him some wiggle room there. Now, if you look back at recent deals the Texans have done, the Texans most recently negotiated a Laremy Tunsil extension that smothered the rest of the offensive line market. Previously, the highest average annual value for an offensive lineman was $18 million per season. That was Lane Johnson, maybe $18.5 million. Now, because of Laremy Tunsil's deal, it's $22 million per season. So if you're Deshaun Watson, you're sitting there saying to yourself, I know this franchise is committed to me, and they have shown in the past they are not afraid to commit to players at a top-of-the-market deal long-term. So I'm Patrick – I'm sorry, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm not getting $45 million per year, but I think $38 or $40 million per season is very much within reach.
What are we to make of the full board of player representatives voting not to have a preseason?
Yeah, I think that one thing that so ultimately the headline is going to be whether we play preseason games or not. One thing that I'm very mindful of, though, is just the dynamic. Because what we've seen in these various restarts, or in the case of the NFL, just the starting period of the season, is if you look across sports landscapes, we know that none of them have got, you know, of the other three major professional sports leagues, NHL, MLB, and NBA, none of them have started up. But I think we can all agree that the most amicable from a partnership standpoint was the NBA. It felt like two sides that shared a common vision. They had to work through some hurdles, but they ultimately felt like they had a uniting front, which was playing this season. The MLB, there was zero partnership whatsoever. It literally got to the point where the commissioner had to force the 60-game season. If I'm the NFL, up to this point, I would describe the tenor as largely on the same page between the NFL and the NFLPA. There's been healthy dialogue back and forth. There certainly has not been universal agreement on everything, but there has been plenty of areas where they have done a very good job of coming to some sort of middle ground. That's what I'm nervous about when I see J.C. Treader's statement. It felt like where we were previously on two tracks that were basically parallel and the gap was not that far between, it started to feel like there was a little bit of a different discourse there. So I don't know what the end result would be in terms of the number of preseason games played, but I also know that it's not the only story I'm monitoring specific to that headline from earlier on today.
ESPN's Field Yates joining Carmen and Yurko here on ESPN 1000. Do you think this will bleed into the regular season, and are we at risk of missing regular season games because of this?
I don't want to be definitive one way or the other. My instinct is no, because the players know how much is at stake, and the league knows how much is at stake. And if you delay the season, ultimately, while you can push things back, the further you delay it, it's just every day that passes by, it decreases the chances of a full 16-game season being played as the NFL has designed it to be played. So I think while it is possible, I think the goal remains on both sides to find a safer way or a safe way to get started on September 10th, where I think we might see is this, you know, the guys have to accept that it's going to be a shortened preseason. And a lot of veterans would say, sweet, sign me up for that. Sure, Yurko feel the same way, right? I think there are going to be some young guys that are saying to themselves, "Man, it's already tough to sign up or to fight for a job and earn a roster spot, and it just became that much tougher."
Well, I think that if there's any team that needed a preseason, at least for the optics, it was the Bears, because you have to somehow say and put it on tape that, hey, look, Nick Foles is better than Trubisky, and that's why he's going to start. Do you think that that not having a preseason will affect that quarterback battle at all?
I don't think that the battle was going to be won on the field in preseason games. I don't have like a perfect example of a recent quarterback competition where it was won or lost during preseason games. I think ultimately this will be won. This will be one that is won over the, let's call it 30 days or 35 days of leading up to the regular season during the preseason. I still think, and I could be way off the mark here, but I still think this is basically Nick Foles' job unless he completely loses it somehow. I just don't know why you make the trade. for, I just don't think you should be in the business of acquiring $24 million in terms of guaranteed money backups. So I think this ultimately still leads to Nick Foles, and I don't think that not having preseason games would throw a major wrench into that plan.
Last week, Cam Newton signed with the Patriots, and do you think more teams should have done more homework on Cam Newton, specifically the Bears? Just throwing that name out there, the Bears. Should have done more homework on Cam Newton and brought him in before the Patriots had a chance to?
I do, and I don't know this part. I know that, and I know Adam Schefter reported this, that basically the only other team to call Cam Newton was the Browns, which is actually a fascinating story in and of itself, but that didn't really get very far. But if I'm anybody else that was in the quarterback market, how are you not at least engaging Cam to figure out, like, if it was, maybe what happened was the Patriots were the only team that called and Cam basically was given one offer or nothing. But aren't you at least digging around and saying, hey, I understand that we've got, let's use the Bears as an example, two quarterbacks here, but Cam's better than both of those. I mean, I would think is pretty clearly better than either of those guys. Shouldn't you at least call and say, what's the price point here? Instead, you let, you know, the best run organization in football get Cam on a massive, significant discount and sort of inject a lot of life into that offense. So I'm surprised by how little interest there was.
What's the demand for Colin Kaepernick? And speaking of price point, what's the price point teams are going to get him at?
Yeah, I don't have an answer on either one of those right now. I think that if we're seeing anything, it's that, you know, not that it's not a really important story, but I think that, you know, there was a chance, there was a window where sort of he was most in the middle of this news cycle, and I would have thought that might have compelled somebody. But maybe what happens is it takes a workout. Maybe it's, all right, we get back, and I don't even know how NFL teams are going to be able to conduct workouts once we get to the season. But let's say we get to a time where they're able to do so safely. Maybe that is the catalyst for signing him, but I don't have a sense of the money either, because if the market, you know, seemingly, it's not like there's a bunch of teams looking for quarterbacks right now, and a quarterback that's played since 2016 makes it that much more complicated. So there was a time where I was certain he would be back in the NFL this season. I'm not saying my mind has definitely changed, but it's an interesting one.
Do you think it's a situation where he has to wait for an injury to a starting quarterback to come in?
I actually don't, Adam. And here's the reason why, is I don't think anybody is going to say, hey, you know what? Like, our starter is injured. We need to eventually sign Kaepernick as a starter or potential starter. I think it might be more teams who have plans at their backup spot, get through training camp and don't really feel like they've got what they need to make it through. And I understand that your backup quarterback in a perfect world doesn't play at all, but maybe that's where the market bubbles up. You know, Anthony Lynn is probably the coach who's spoken the most about sort of where he stands, Colin Kaepernick, as a potential workout quarterback for them. I think that's probably his best bet right now, is that, you know, I understand that a lot of people believe the NFL has done him wrong and he needs to get back in the league because he deserves to. I think there's merit to that. But I also think that at some point, I think if he were a little clearer about what he wants, I think that might help move the needle a little bit, too. If he said, hey, I'm willing to take a backup job, money is not important to me, then I think it might kickstart the process a little bit.
One more quick question. Appreciate your time, Field. Who will be the opening game starter for the Patriots?
I think it's Cam Newton. Yeah, certainly you have to have the competition, and certainly, you know, there's one player who's been there and sort of done that, not on the field so much in Jared Stidham, but has done so. Been there, been a part of the program. But I think it's Cam. I think he's dynamic. I think he's got a chance to really make a lot of people be kicking themselves after what they bypassed, right? Such a unique player, such a fun guy to watch. I think that week one, assuming it is the normal schedule against the Dolphins, he's the one that's starting for them.
Thanks a lot, Field. Appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Field Yates joining us on the Corona Hotline here on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Adam Abdallah in for Carmen DeFalco here on Carmen and Yurko. Coming up next, we've been talking a lot about extensions, about Patrick Mahomes' extension. There's one player on the Bears that's waiting on his extension. We'll talk about him next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
Yesterday, Patrick Mahomes signs an extension, 10 years. He's already got, still got 2 years left on his deal, so he is going to be a Chief for the next 12 years for $500 million. That is $500 million. Here in Chicago, one player that is waiting for his extension, he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's going to make $13 million this year. He scored 7 touchdowns last year for the Bears. That would be one Allen Robinson. We're still waiting for Allen Robinson's extension. Hopefully it gets done before training camp. But we all assume here in Chicago that Allen Robinson wants to be a Bear. He's very involved in the community here. He's been a great representative of the team. We've all had him on a few times. He's a great interview. He's a great guy. Ultimately, I don't understand what the holdup is in getting Allen Robinson his money. Why is there a holdup? And getting your most talented. I'm not. Look, it's the Bears. Of course, I'm not shocked.
I mean, are you shocked that the Bears do business this way?
It's the Bears. Of course, I'm not shocked.
Ask any player that's ever played for the Bears what it's like negotiating a deal with them.
But if you want to take the attention away from, you know, I know they don't care about this stuff, but Patrick Mahomes signs this huge deal. You know, everybody brings up Trubisky. All the jokes about Trubisky are there, the Sam Bowie comparisons, all that kind of stuff. Everything is there. Sign the one guy on offense. Your most talented offensive player.
So what was he making on the deal that he had signed previously? It was like $13, $14 million?
Yeah, so he's scheduled to make $13 million this year. He made $14 million last year and $15 million the year before.
Is he a top 10 wide receiver, according to you?
Yes.
Top 10 wide receiver in the league?
I think so, yes.
He is?
Yes.
Or he's got the talent for that. Maybe the numbers aren't here because he's playing here.
I think he has the talent for that. He also had Blake Bortles and Mitchell Trubisky as his quarterback.
And that would be my argument. Listen, if I go someplace else, I'm going to be getting a ton of catches. If I go to New Orleans, I'll become Michael Thomas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay? So that would be his argument to the Bears. Listen, I don't mind being here. I like being here. But you've got to pay me like an elite receiver, and the fact that your quarterbacks and this offense hasn't quite been elite is not incumbent or not to be blamed on me. I'm the one bright spot here that you can't take advantage. So let's take advantage of it by getting somebody back there that can throw the ball to me.
Well, because my concern is they go into the season with no deal. He doesn't sign an extension. He's successful with Nick Foles, but decides he wants to go somewhere else because he's getting a better offer. He's gone, and now what offensive weapons do you have? Cole Kmet, who we don't know what kind of tight end he's going to be, because then you have to draft wide receivers.
You can franchise him.
You could franchise him, but then what good does, I mean, do you want...
No, then you create animosity between the player
Absolutely.
And the club.
Absolutely. Yes. You don't want that. Right now, you're on good terms, we think.
I understand why you'd want it. At what dollar amount are you going to get him for? Didn't DeAndre Hopkins or one of your wide receivers just sign a contract that's paying him $20 million a year? If this guy's a top 10 wide receiver, you got to pay him $18 million. At the very least, he's got to get $18 million.
Do you think he's worth $18 million?
There's very few players, I think, that are worth $18 million. You're talking about $18 million. It's 10% of the cap. You know, a little less than 10% of the cap.
DeAndre Hopkins making $12 million this year. He'll make $13.5 million next year and $14 million the year after. He's unrestricted in 2023.
I'm just trying to figure out what the top wide receivers are making. It's not DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas. What's Amari Cooper make? Amari Cooper's the one that you're going to have to go ahead and take a look at it, because Amari Cooper was a failure in Oakland, not of his fault, but he ended up going over to Dallas, and he looked pretty damn good.
He's making $20 million a year.
So there you go. $20 million a year. So it's Amari Cooper's deal that makes it $20 million a year.
Okay.
Paying him?
$18
million. Oh, so you want $18 million. Five-year, $90 million contract.
Because if I'm the Bears, I can go to him and say, look, Amari Cooper's got the numbers. You say you're good, and we know you're good, and the talent is there.
That's not a negotiating ploy.
Well, I understand that, but I'm not giving him $20
million. Right. So you're giving him $18 million.
I'll give him 17 or 18.
$90 million over 5 years.
Okay.
And you're happy with that?
I can live with that.
Can he live with it?
I would hope so.
Let's get Allen Robinson on. Let's negotiate with Allen Robinson
right now.
Allen, can you live with this?
Because he's the only bright spot on this offense. You have a subpar offensive line. You have 20 tight ends. You have
$30 million signing bonus?
$30 million signing bonus?
The way you structure it, you give him a $30 million signing bonus?
Sure. Just give him
a you got to structure it. In case something happens, how much money accrues?
That's for the accounts to figure out.
Right.
Tell me $18 million a year.
We can play the game, the silly game, how much we should, but then we've got to go ahead and we've got to put a contract together.
I understand that, but I'm saying I don't care about the signing bonus, all that kind of stuff. Just tell me what he wants per year. If he wants $18 million a year, to me, that's doable.
Okay, well, you and I are now predicting that's doable and that's what he should get.
Yeah.
With the Chicago Bears. That's the contract extension.
Yes.
Could they wait during the year to do that? Do you want it done now?
It depends. What does Allen Robinson want? Does he want it done
before
the season?
It doesn't make a difference. What he wants.
But if he's
under contract to the Chicago Bears.
I understand he's under contract, but you've been through this. You understand how this works. Yeah. If you don't sign before this, then you have a disgruntled player, and then you have a disgruntled player, wide receiver with bad quarterback play, and how does that work?
You got a guy making $13 million. What's he disgruntled about?
He's making a lot of money. $13 million is a lot of money.
What's he disgruntled about? He's making as much money as DeAndre Hopkins, for heaven's sake.
That he is. He absolutely is.
He signed a contract, didn't he, when he came with the Chicago Bears?
He did.
This is a deal that he had signed. Has he outperformed it? I'd say he hasn't. He hasn't outperformed his contract. I think he's been the best wide receiver on the Bears by far. Mm-hmm. I also think he's a pretty damn talented wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't outperformed his contract.
No, but if he had better quarterback play, could he have outperformed his contract?
That's why I look at the individual talent of the player and I say yes. He is a top 10 wide receiver in the league. That's the type of talent that he has. So I agree with you with that, 100%. But, you know, I don't look at his contract and say, oh, man, I've got to get this done yesterday. If they can find a way to get it done, let's find a way to get it done. I'm all for Allen Robinson remaining a Bear, and you and I have put him up in the $90 million range for 5 years.
I'll put him in $90 million for 5 years.
I think he's very happy for that.
Yeah, 90, absolutely.
I think he'd look at us and say, you know what, you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
You know, we're like a mini Lee Steinberg and
who's this guy?
Who's the Tom Cruise guy?
Who's the Tom Cruise guy?
Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Lee Steinberg and Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
What a combination, kid.
Do you want to be Lee Steinberg and I'll be Jerry Maguire? Or do you want to be Jerry Maguire?
I'll be Jerry Maguire. You can be Lee Steinberg.
Do you have a speech to a lady that you're trying to
got
court?
All types of speeches.
Give
to
us
ladies.
A speech. Did you?
He didn't even want a quarter.
Did she have him at hello?
No.
Have you ever had a lady at hello?
The wide receiver was Rod. What was his name in the movie?
Rod Tidwell.
Tidwell. He was. They were flirting the whole time. They're the. And Cruz kept looking over at Zewilliger going,
Zewilliger!
Isn't it Renee Zewilliger? Isn't that her name?
Zellweger.
Whatever. He's looking at her going, not so much. And then he ends up finally falling for her at the end because she's the only one that supported him.
Well, yeah, that's usually how it works.
Well,
in a rom-com situation.
But he wasn't enamored with her from the jump.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite rom-com?
Romantic comedy, Sleepless in Seattle.
They're old school.
Yeah, that's
old
a pretty
school.
Good one.
What about You've Got Mail? Do you like You've Got Mail?
I've never watched You've Got Mail.
Is that wasn't it the same movie? Or am I thinking?
I mean, one of them was about AOL.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of them was about radio.
There's other romantic comedies like the 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, you're going with one that the kids love.
I'm going with the Matthew McConaughey, Kate Hudson movie where she's wearing...
Sweet Home Alabama?
No, Isadora.
Oh.
Sweet Home Alabama is a different one with Reese Witherspoon,
by
the way.
I didn't know you knew all these romantic comedies.
Reese Witherspoon and the poor man's what's his name?
Josh Charles.
Yeah, but he's the poor man's, not Matthew McConaughey.
Brad Pitt?
No, the other guy that was in Hangover.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, he's the poor man's Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
That guy. Yeah, like he was competing with Bradley Cooper for some movies, and Bradley Cooper got him, and he ended up on the outs doing Sweet Home Alabama. Yeah, I like that one.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a number of them I like, but I'm trying to think of the one with Isadora. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Okay.
Good, funny, romantic comedy.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
something
what about
like that.
When Harry Met Sally?
No.
No?
I've never seen When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, Billy That's Crystal, Meg Ryan.
Billy Crystal is not a leading man.
I know, but here's the problem. I know all of the movie because I know about all the scenes.
Right.
I've seen the movie. I've just never seen the movie.
Billy Crystal is not a leading man. He's a sidekick. He's a number two.
You don't think think he's a leading man?
Billy Crystal's not a leading man. Any movie where he's a leading man is not a movie. City Slickers. Really?
What about My Giant?
No. No. Absolutely not. Not a leading man.
Randy, what's your favorite?
You know, I was just thinking that, Abdallah. There's a movie, old school movie that I always go to. Can't Buy Me Love with Patrick Dempsey.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Like the premise is kind of a cute. They redid it too, but the second one wasn't as good as the first one. They never are.
Yeah, that chick was hot in the first one.
Oh, Amanda Peterson.
I would have spilled some wine on her. Boy, just to get her out of her clothes.
Yeah. There you go. But that was a really good movie back in the day. I think late 80s, early 90s for that movie. Yeah.
17-year-old Tyler Aki producing the show today. Tyler, do the kids watch romantic comedies anymore?
No.
Well, what's your favorite romantic comedy? One that gets the old thing, American Pie, maybe?
Knocked Up?
What'd you say?
Knocked Up
is romantic.
Knocked Up? Maybe?
That's a good one.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
What's the one that Black likes? That when he was talking about it with, who was he talking about
I'll ask Black.
Yeah, I mean, you should have asked Black.
No,
when
but
he
I remember because when he brought it up, I watched it. Because it was on like HBO or something later that night, and I watched it.
Oh, Crazy Stupid Love.
There you go.
Yeah, yep. Everybody loves Crazy Stupid Love. They think it's great.
Give me the premise.
Crazy Stupid Love. It's a crazy movie about stupid love. It's got Ryan Gosling in it. I've actually never seen it. It's got, Ryan Gosling and what's her name? She's in the sing-song movie with him.
Not good with actors and actresses. I'm the wrong person to ask.
The sing-songy movie?
L.A. Hollywood.
Hollywood, yeah, that
Hollywood,
one.
Hollywood, that one?
That one.
Hollywoodland?
The one about the song. You know what I'm talking about, the
girl,
musical.
The good-looking girl, the funny girl.
She's
in the other one.
Yeah, she's in the other movie.
Yeah.
Emma Stone.
I knew it was an Emma. Emma Stone, yeah. People love that movie. People love that movie.
How about the one with Bradley Cooper and the blue chick from X-Men?
The blue chick from X-Men?
Yeah, when they were in Philadelphia.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Jennifer, the blue chick from X-Men.
It's based in Philly?
Something game plan?
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name.
Something playbook.
Silver Linings Playbook.
Bam! Silver Linings Playbook.
There you go.
We just got it.
There you go.
You see, that's what we call spitballing.
We're throwing ideas around,
we get to the answer.
And of course, the ultimate one is The Notebook, right?
I want to play a game, if you like that sort of movie.
Isn't that a romantic comedy? It's not a romantic comedy.
I don't think it's funny.
It's a romance.
Good point.
There's nothing comedic about it.
Okay.
Come on.
My bad.
It's a tragedy and a romantic whatever or another. Somebody just hit.
Goal.
Is that Tammy Abraham?
Goal.
I wanted to play this forever.
Okay.
You play the beginning. You know how they have the, what's the thing called with the movie? Comes out 2 minutes and shows you what it's
the trailer?
Like. Boom. The movie trailer game. Mm-hmm. You play it. Adam and I are here, and we've got to identify the movie by the description of the movie.
When Chris and I used
to live... That's the greatest game in the world.
When Chris and I used to live together, we used to play a game when a movie would start.
We got to keep our clothes on.
Okay.
What you and Chris did when you lived together.
Okay.
Our clothes have to stay on in the studio. We're on Twitch.
We wouldn't, you wouldn't look at the guide. The movie would start on whatever bad cable channel it was on.
Right, right.
And you would have FX. To predict the movie before it got to the title. So it'd be like starring this person.
Yeah.
Directed by this person. You'd be like, and you'd have to like name the movie before it got there.
Since we're not in a visual medium, I think my idea for radio is exceptional.
I like it. Yes. No. Yo, yes, it is. That
so
is a very good one.
Put 10 movies together.
We will talk Cubs and.
Give them a chance.
Yes.
And put 10 movies together. We're going to play the game because I'm working with you twice more this week or no?
Once more. Tomorrow.
It's got to be ready for tomorrow. My man, Aki.
He'll forget. Bob.
You're my guy.
Don't worry. He'll forget this. Don't worry.
Merkin.
Don't worry, Tyler.
Can't rely on Merkin.
Don't worry.
Boy,
Randy.
Who do I rely on here?
I don't know. I'm here.
I'm going to have to do it myself.
You might have to come in and learn how to use Adobe and then figure it out yourself.
If you put the movies in you, Jackaloon, you'll have all the answers.
Well, then, same with you.
All right, we got a break.
All right, we'll talk Cubs and we'll ask Patrick Mooney his favorite romantic comedy next.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Talking more rom-coms during the break with Yurko here, Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, ESPN Chicago app. Matt and Abdallah in for Carmen today. You mentioned She's All That. What about Drive Me Crazy? With the Britney Spears song.
Yeah, I think the most legitimate question I ask is 16 Candles a rom-com?
See, I think it's more of a coming-of-age tale more than so than a rom-com. But then you have to get into, is American Pie a rom-com? Is it a coming-of-age tale? It's a whole discussion that I don't know if we have time for because we have Patrick Mooney is on our Corona hotline.
We're going to talk to him about this, too.
He's about to talk Cubs with us. Patrick Mooney, do you have a favorite rom-com?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm interrupting a really important conversation here. So I'm kind of butting in. I don't want to do that at all.
It's a COVID-related topic of the day. That's what it is.
Okay.
So do you have a rom-com for us or not?
I do not.
Okay. Well, that's
not,
all right.
I was not prepared for this.
That's okay.
I watch a lot of Disney Plus movies with my kids during quarantine.
That's so and, to me. And those get a hold of your brain, and that's all you can think about. I know that. That's crazy.
Lion King is a romantic comedy to me. So if you've seen Lion King, you've seen at least
say,
one.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. You can go with the Lion King if you wanted to. So David Ross met the media a little bit earlier and said that they are delaying their workout today because of a delay in the results from their Sunday test. Is this going to be an ongoing problem that teams are going to have to deal with for the next couple weeks before games get started?
Honestly, I think so. I mean, it'll stop becoming an ongoing problem if they just, like, cancel the season. And I think that possibility can't be put off the table when someone like Chris Bryant is sitting in the Wrigley interview room doing a Zoom press conference and admitting he wouldn't be surprised if that happened. And I think while the Cubs have been very organized and they've focused on the right things, a lot of this stuff is kind of out of their hands and up to either third parties or other teams across the league. And obviously right now is stuff like that just can't happen. And I thought Chris was correct to say he didn't want to sound insensitive at a time like this. But if we're talking about the context of return to play, this stuff can't happen. It can't be blaming it on the 4th of July holiday and kind of unforeseen delays.
So if this kind of goes on for the next 2 weeks, would this potentially delay a game from starting?
I mean, I think David Ross is right. Like, this is literally a day-to-day process.
Yeah.
From the moment these guys wake up and they check in on the MLB-issued app and use their MLB-issued thermometers and answer the series of questions to get clearance to get screened again when they show up at Wrigley. And I thought it was kind of, I don't know if ironic's the right word, but you know, MLB is releasing their schedule and every outlet, including us at The Athletic, is doing these breakdowns of the 60-game schedule. And it's like, dude, if they can't, you know, get tomorrow's workout starting on time, like, who cares how many games the Cubs are playing the White Sox in September? You know what I mean?
Well, isn't it a situation where it just has to be right on July 23rd? That's when they have to have everything heading in the right direction. That's when they have to have all questions asked.
Well, I think, you know, Chris Bryant's point was it really only takes one slip up here to kind of, you know, decimate an entire team, and if each team is going off this uniform system, I think one breakdown could affect multiple teams. But I mean, you are right in that there has to be some lead time for this. I mean, even Ross said you can't just crush MLB all the time. Like, there's going to be some glitches that have to be worked out. I mean, I think this is a professional sports league, not like the federal government. They're not a public health entity. However, if they want to play this year, then no doubt they have to get it fixed as soon as possible.
Patrick Mooney from The Athletic joining us here on ESPN 1000. Carmen and Yurko, Adam Abdallah sitting in for Carmen. You look at the Cubs schedule. What's your biggest takeaway from these 60 games coming up here at the end of the month?
You know, I think it'd be obviously, you know, if it does happen, it would be cool to see the Cubs and White Sox playing meaningful games down the stretch. I think it was pretty heavy in terms of games at Wrigley against some of their biggest division rivals. And then I think really the interesting part is it's going to be how the Cubs are preparing for this. And Tommy Hotovy saying that, you know, we kind of have to get maybe like 7 opening day starters ready because they have no idea, one, of if there's going to be, you know, kind of outbreak that just decimates the roster. Or, you know, there was a layoff that lasted almost 4 months, and now you're doing a 3-week training camp for something that usually goes 6 or 7 weeks. So I think, you know, who's ready on opening day and can kind of maintain that and navigate this will kind of ultimately be the ones who are kind of left standing at the end.
In the never-ending world of trying to find something to wager on, I've come up with a couple over-unders for you for both the Cubs and the Sox, both teams here in the city of Chicago. The highest home run mark for the season, over-under 13.5. 60-game schedule, 13.5 home runs. Over or under, yeah. Patrick?
I'll go over.
Okay.
I would be optimistic. Yeah.
Starting? Yeah. Okay. I'll be optimistic, too. I mean, I'd like it. You know how guys get hot when the weather's hotter? Players have a tendency to let that ball fly, especially if the wind's coming out of the south. Over or under on victories for a pitcher, 7. And this is regular season only, 60 games.
Well, I guess now that I'm thinking about it, like, this is, if I bet the over, I'm thinking that a season is actually going to happen. Am I kind of boxing myself in?
No. It's all action predicated on 60 games played.
Okay. Then, yeah, I'd take the over. I mean, I could see, you know, whether it's DeGrom or even, you know, someone like Darvish who just gets totally, you know, locked in. And, you know, I think unfortunately there could be times where, you know, a pitcher might be facing lineups that are really either compromised or distracted. And yeah, I mean, to think that a couple pitchers get, you know, completely dialed in here for 2 months is, you know, a pretty reasonable bet, I'd say.
Thanks a lot, Patrick. We appreciate your time. Hopefully we get a season here so you don't have to watch as much Disney Plus and we can go back to not watching rom-coms.
I watched Mulan too many times.
For everyone, guys. Take care.
Take it easy. Patrick Mooney from The Athletic joining us. You can check out the baseball show tonight. It was debuted last night, every weeknight here on ESPN Chicago. The baseball show is Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on the Cubs, Sox, and the MLB. Jonathan Hood is in here every weeknight at 6 o'clock taking all of your calls on the baseball season starting yesterday throughout the baseball season. And if you miss it, make sure you check out the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. I got my Twitter's blowing up with possible rom-coms. We're talking rom-coms, or we'll talk football, which in and of itself is in fact a rom-com. I'll tell you why next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah, at Yurko64. That's Yurko with a J. A lot of people chiming in on their favorite rom-coms. James on Twitter says The Wedding Singer. Ozzy says The Proposal. Not Ozzy Guillen. Ozzy Sanchez says The Proposal. People on Twitch are saying Leap Year, Something About Mary, Not Another Teen Movie, although that's a parody of it and everything. Silver Linings Playbook. And I said before the break, Yurko, that football in itself is a rom-com. And it's simply because I love football, and sometimes the Bears are a comedy. Rom-com. Boom. If there's romance.
That's how it works.
If there's romance and the movie's funny, rom-com. Boy,
I am telling you.
Rom-com.
You are not a complicated fella.
Well, when we went to break, you I teased that, and you said, what? And I'm like, well, sometimes we just say things. I mean, okay. Sometimes you just got it, you know,
you
five more it. Minutes.
You know? Love it, so you love it.
I love it. I love football.
Their football is comedic at times, especially offensively.
So it's a rom-com.
So it's romance comedy for
sometimes
you
got to take the glasses off the nerd, and you sit Trubisky, and that's taking the glasses off the nerd, and they become hot.
Well, how would you describe the 2019 season if it were a horror? It was a horror show for me. That's what I would put it as.
Probably Scream.
Horror, yeah.
Probably Scream.
I don't know what title I would have given it.
Probably Scream. If it was the Cubs, it would be I Know What You Did Last Summer.
No.
Sorry.
You and Harry Tanglewood.
That one was really bad.
Oh, my heavens.
Meet the Parents is, I don't know if Meet the Parents is a rom-com, someone says on Twitch.
Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
Well, he is in love with the girl.
Well, he's already in love with her, though.
And
it's
Bobby
not a story
De Niro,
about
right,
them falling
right,
in love. They're
it's
already
Bobby
in
De Niro
love.
Sabotaging.
If you're already in love. One of the best ones that I don't think get enough credit is Along Came Polly. Have you seen Along Came Polly? Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Are you kidding me?
I don't think it gets a lot of credit.
Along Came Polly. Yeah.
I don't think it gets enough
My
credit.
My guy, seven different types of smoke. No, that's you, me, and Dupree.
That's you, me, and Dupree.
That's you, me, and Dupree.
That is you, me.
Along Came Polly.
And that is Dupree.
Is when he went down to the Caribbean at the beginning of the movie, and the scuba guy is taking advantage of his new wife.
Maximilian says Hitch on Twitter. Yes, Randy?
What about my buddy Pete Jones' movie Hall Pass? Because at the end, doesn't Owen Wilson fall back in love with his wife?
See, I was going to ask about falling back in love because is Couples Retreat a romantic comedy? Because they go because they're all having problems and then they end up falling in love again at the end.
I think that's the different category that you just mentioned, the back in love.
Is that a re-rom comedy?
Yeah, a re-rom comedy.
Re-rom? So we've got re-roms now, a subcategory
of romantic comedy.
Rom-coms. Yeah.
They've been in love, they fell out of love, now they're back in love. Re-rom.
Okay.
Re-rom-com. I like that.
Say It Isn't So would be for the Chicago Bears
you
of 2019.
On Hitch,
Ryan
though.
Salisbury says, no, someone says Hitch, Maximilian.
No, I'm
Hitch.
Saying you passed on. Hitch is a pretty damn good movie.
Hitch is funny.
Yeah.
Hitch is funny. There's not a lot of, not many Kevin James vehicles that I enjoy. That is definitely one of them. Paul Blart Mall Cop, not a fan.
Not a fan of the Mall Cop. What about when he was wrestling?
That was kind of funny.
See the wrestling
movie? That one was kind of funny.
Raising money for the band.
Rico Suave on Twitter says can't hardly wait. Again, is it a rom-com or is it a coming of age tale? I feel like when you have high school kids in a party setting, something like that, you're coming of age more than your romantic comedy. Because
by the way, Project
they don't end
X.
up together, do they?
Project X.
That's
one of my
coming of
movies.
Age. That's yeah. coming of age. That's
they do end up together. Jennifer. That's Jennifer Love Hewitt, right?
Don't they? I thought she leaves on the train and she leaves.
No. I know. Spoiler alert. No, he ends up staying because he's going to see Kurt Vonnegut or something like that. And
Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah, he's going to a camp with Kurt Vonnegut or something. And then he ends up missing his train and.
Is that back to school that you're talking about?
No, it's Can't Hardly Wait. Can't Hardly Wait.
Hey, Vonnegut, can you read lips?
50 First Dates, that's a good one from Black Magic on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. So that's, 50 First Dates is okay. That's the one where Drew Barrymore keeps forgetting stuff, right?
Right, she forgets and Adam Sandler's falling in love with her every single time.
Not a big Drew Barrymore fan. Not a big Drew Barrymore fan.
She was great
fan.
In E.T.
Oh, and then downhill from there?
Yeah.
She hit six,
that was
7 years
high
old.
Watermark.
Her prime was 6 years old?
She was okay with Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
I liked her in Charlie's Angels.
It's more of an ensemble cast, though.
It was an ensemble. Lucy Liu, I believe, was in that. And then our girl from Something About Mary.
Oh, Something About Mary is a great one.
Well, you already mentioned
it.
Somebody mentioned it.
I did, yes. That is a great one, though. That's one of my favorite ones.
Another Ben Stiller falling in love all the time. This poor kid can't fall in love.
Two separate people on Twitch have said Fever Pitch at the same time. Patrick Comiskey and Jimmy on
Fever Pitch for like a good movie that she's made.
I think they're just suggesting on a rom-com. They're on a bit of a delay. I don't think they've heard our Drew Barrymore slander yet.
Yeah, well, hopefully they hear it and they're not mad at us.
What about, do you guys mention Wedding Crashers yet?
Wedding Crashers, romantic comedy.
I don't think it is.
Do fall in love.
I might not be allowed on the Waddle and Sylvie show today if I say this. I don't like Wedding Crashers.
How can you not like Wedding Crashers?
My taste in movies says it's not funny.
Timmy O'Callaghan.
I don't think it's funny. I think it's about two guys going in and trying to get as many free meals as they can. Are they bringing gifts to these dates? No. You watch me crash your wedding and see if you like that.
The whole point was them scamming to get chicks.
Yeah, that's not...
Scamming to get chicks.
Not great. Not nice guys.
That's how 90% of the world's got to do it, kid. We're not all Bill Gates. We just can't show up with the...
Oh, but you can afford the suits and the travel to and from the wedding?
Right.
You can't afford the gift?
You can dress a suit up, kid. They're sitting there looking at all the engagement things, figuring out when the weddings are. They're planning it out. Ingenious.
Not a fan.
And then Will Ferrell sitting there working the whole the Shiva circuit.
He's the best part of the movie.
Yes.
He's the only funny part of that movie.
And working the, you know, the wakes and stuff like that, finding sadness and bringing joy.
Mikey on Twitter says that 50 First Dates would be a rom-com.
Yes.
So that's the funny.
Good.
That's a good joke.
That's funny.
That's restaurant quality, right? The Breakup. If you want to talk about a Chicago movie, Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, but it's not a romantic comedy. These guys.
It is.
Who fell in love with who?
Don't they get
No, they break up. It's over at the end. They see each other again. It's like, good to see you, good to see
you. So is it the opposite of a rom-com? Is it a com-rom?
No.
No? It's an un-rom-com.
There's no romance there.
Un-rom-com.
Yes.
Un-rom-com.
It's
there you
reverse
go.
Of the romantic comedy.
It's actually kind of a sad movie.
It is very sad, but it shows you the anatomy of a breakup and what it looks like.
So do the kids not watch rom-coms anymore, Tyler? Tyler producing the show today. He's 17 years old. He's fresh out of high school.
Tyler Key.
Graduated from high school early.
Rom-coms
straight
anymore.
To the league here.
And I'm just not a big movie guy. I don't.
Are you a Marvel guy?
No, I'm not a movie guy in general. Like I don't
I
love.
I picture
the idea
your
of,
favorite guy. Like you got posters of Thanos around your room.
But you've got to represent your. You've got to represent your youth. You've got to represent the youth for us here at ESPN Chicago. And I need to know what the kids are. What's hot in the streets?
The kids watch TikTok, and that might be taken away from us soon. We like the short cinema, but that might be taken away.
Well,
from
Well, that's
us
really
soon.
Short cinema. Yeah. That's like 5 seconds worth.
Yeah. Sometimes you're lucky to get a minute.
What do you think? What's your stance on that if the U.S. government goes ahead and shuts that down?
I understand it. Okay. I understand it.
Well, it's calm. I understand it.
All right.
No anger, no upsetting. You should have the right to use it. If you don't want to use it, maybe don't use it.
That's fair. Nell's on Twitter going full 90s on us. 4 Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, Bridget Jones's Diary. What about My Best Friend's Wedding?
Anything with Hugh
filmed
Grant.
Here, My Best Friend's Wedding?
Anything with Hugh Grant I don't agree with.
Really?
Yeah. Anything with Hugh Grant.
Because of his past?
He looks a little like Phil Mickelson to me. And I can't get away from that. Hugh Grant and Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson looks like a cop right now.
Put the two of them together.
He's got those big glasses on.
Does Phil? I didn't see it.
He's got the big, he's wearing those big sunglasses. He's got the cop sunglasses.
I've never seen Phil Mickelson and Hugh Grant in the same room together.
So do you think he actually has an English accent or American accent if they're the same person?
I think
which one is the ruse?
The ruse is he's got an English accent. The ruse is him being a golfer.
The ruse is him being a golfer. Yeah. Okay.
There's actually no talent there.
There's none. We'll cross talk with Waddle and Sylvie and ask them about romantic comedies next.